Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn DeGeek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Randy Thompson from on top of a mountain in beautiful Hendersonville, North Carolina.
And this is the point where you keep going. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, July 1st, 2011, episode 175, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
Work all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Good morning, everybody. Glenn the Geek here, and we're happy that you're joining us on this Freestyle Friday. As you know, Jamie is out today. She's actually up visiting her hubby in Washington, having a quiet, romantic time in the great Northwest. So we have somebody that has become a good friend of the Horse Radio Network here recently, been on a bunch of the shows, helps me do tips. I met her a little while ago, and we got along very well. She's a trainer, an author, a marketer, and she's well known around Facebook right now. And that is Randy Thompson. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Glenn. Nice talking to you again.
Well, thank you so much for joining us from atop the mountain there in North Carolina. Randy lives in a beautiful place. How many states did you say you can see from your porch?
Three.
Yeah, that's not too bad. You know,
yeah,
most people can't see three states from their porch.
It's true.
You know, Jennifer
it's
and I,
amazing.
We took last year, we went down. When you live in Lexington, your vacation spot is Pigeon Forge and down in Gatlinburg, down at the edge of the Smoky Mountains. Well, then we took a drive over the Smoky Mountains into North Carolina on the twistiest, windiest roads that exist in the country.
Highway
and that's where you
boy.
Live.
Yes, yes. Yes, not a straight line to be seen anywhere.
Now, how long did it say you said it takes you to get off the mountain, like to go to the grocery store?
30 minutes.
To go
it
to the grocery
store? Yes, I go. But when I do my horse thing, I always drive to the grocery store there. It takes me 3 minutes, well, 10 minutes to drive 3 minutes to the bottom of this mountain.
That is
and it's
true.
Beautiful.
Because it's so twisty and windy.
That's right. It's very twisty and windy. It is.
Well, you know, and that's in the summertime it takes you that long. In the wintertime, completely different story on those icy nights.
Especially if we have the black ice. Oh, when it's winter, it's terrible. And I didn't know about black ice when I first moved here. Now I understand black ice. I just don't drive. You know, it sucks. You're driving on a mountain and you drive down the mountain and you have no brakes because you're just sliding on the black ice. Been there, done that before.
We went to Asheville, which you live near, to the Breakers. Help me out.
That's
here.
The Biltmore. The Biltmore. The largest single resident home in the United States, I think they call it.
Did you know you can ride there? You can rent horses and ride around the property.
And carriages. They have carriages.
Jennifer did that, though, with a friend of ours. As a matter of fact, I think it was only the two of them and the guy, because that's all that had signed up, so they got to go out like a private ride around Biltmore. She loved that. That was fun.
Oh, that was beautiful. It's beautiful up there.
Well, and we went there one New Year's Eve, and it was snowing, and it was snowing when we got there, and it stayed snowing the whole time we were there on New Year's Eve. It was one of the most beautiful times we had ever been to the Biltmore. Was with the snow and the sparkles, and it was New Year's Eve, and there were all kinds of stuff going on. It was cool. It was really neat.
Oh, sounds like it was very romantic, too.
Yeah, it was fun. It was definitely a good time. Well, we have a ton to do on the show today. You know, we impressed you into service here, co-hosting the show this morning, and then we loaded up the guests, and you're just going to be a busy girl.
Well, wonderful. I'm looking forward to enjoying this time with you, Glenn, and Jennifer.
All right, good. Well, let's find out from Jennifer what's coming up.
On today's Freestyle Friday, Kentucky Performance Products Edition, we're all over the map, more so than usual. We'll be starting out in Arizona with Cassie Schuer, critter trainer extraordinaire. Cassie will be recounting her adventures training animals you may never have even heard of, as well as a few horses. Next up, it's snack time with our favorite equestrian cuisinaire, Reese Kofler Stanfield from right here in Lexington, Kentucky. She will be sharing a cool soup recipe, perfect for the upcoming 4th of July picnics that everybody's going to be having. And to round out our trip around the country, Cindy Mihiel, founder of Cedar Creek Productions and producer of Buck the Film, will be joining us. And we're going to get some really awesome behind-the-scenes and how-did-it-happen stories from Cindy. So stay tuned.
All right, good. It's time for my first Daily Whinny today. My Daily Whinny goes out to a new listener that we know about that posted on our Facebook page yesterday. By the way, you can follow us on Facebook during the show. Jennifer will be posting all the links and pictures from today's show. Her name is Chloe Woods, and she's listening from Ireland. So welcome, Chloe. We appreciate you being a listener here to Horses in the Morning. And I did want to let everybody know there won't be any really bad ads today because Jamie's out, and that's really her thing. And Black Beauty will be back on Tuesday. So that's that. Don't worry. I haven't nixed Black Beauty. I wouldn't do that because I would be killed by the listeners. So she'll be back on Tuesday, and really bad ads will be back next Friday. Well, it's time for Randy's Daily Whinny.
My Whinny of the day goes to Cheryl Kuzner, and she's the director of the Equestrian Aid Foundation. For those of you who don't know about it yet, this is a foundation that is providing financial assistance to those in the horse world who are suffering with an illness or injury. The recipients are from all areas of the life and share a passion for horses. What I like about this group is they're taking care of people in the horse business when they need it the most. So thank you so much for everything you do, Cheryl. Cheryl Kuzner.
Yeah, that-
Yep, you've heard that of them, the Equestrian Aid Foundation.
Yeah, it's a great organization, and they do a lot of good work for the riders out there who just don't have any other place to turn after they've been hurt.
Which is a good thing. There's nothing to protect those of us who are in the agricultural industry.
Nope, that's right. Unless you have private insurance, and most of us, most full-timers don't have other insurance. You have to buy it your own, which is very, very expensive.
That's right.
And getting more expensive every day.
Every day.
And
their website is http://equestrianaidfoundation.org.
Okay, great. That's super. And I think let's do this. You actually have a caller on the line. So let's do this. Let's take a caller. By the way, if you want to call us today, you can call in at 347-637-3238. And we kind of thought Randy might be popular with callers today. So let's talk to Laura from Ottawa, Canada. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Great. So
good
you
morning,
called
Laura.
In to
this
say hi
Randy.
To Randy.
I do want to say hi to Randy. And also I want to tell everybody today's Canada Day up here in the north. And happy
That's
Canada
right.
Day.
Happy Canada
well,
Day.
Happy Canada Day.
Well, thank
we have
you
a lot
much.
Of listeners in Canada.
What
yes.
do they do on Happy Canada Day? What do they do in Canada for Canada Day?
Well, a lot of people go down to the nation's capital, Ottawa, which is quite near where I live, and there's live rock concerts, performances, opera, and actually the royal couple is Kate and William are here today.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Not here where I am, but in Ottawa.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's a big thing. They're expecting a crowd of 500,000.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're going to ride your horse, right?
That's right. Right today before it gets too hot. That's right.
Oh, good to you.
So, Randy, I have a question for you. I'm a big follower of your How to Market Your Horse business, and I noticed that you have a lot of followers on your Facebook, over 3,000 followers, and it's developing and growing every day. What is your biggest way that you have developed the followers for your Facebook page? What is one of the most things that people can do, like me, who I have 180 on my Facebook page?
That's a great question, Laura. Okay. What I did is, when I came into social media, I came in kicking and screaming. I didn't want anything to do with it myself, but I started playing with it and learning it. And the thing that I learned that's the most important, as you'll probably know, is teaching people or allowing people to learn how their comments influence people. And these comments can be person to person like we do, but we're in social media right now, and the secret to our success is creating comments that are interesting, that get people to talk back and show other people that they have value. I think that's made the biggest thing for everything that I've done. And the other thing that I've done is that 5-time rule, which is when you first start with Facebook or any social media, the first thing you do is every day add 5 friends. Every day make 5 meaningful comments on people you'd like to get to know better, hopefully comments that can draw them out into more conversation, and then like at least 5 other people on the news feed so that I'm sharing the comment love. And that's the process that I recommend, Laura. That's what's made the difference for me. And you've watched it. You've watched what's happened.
Okay,
it's a phenomenon.
So on my page, I've got 180. How do I grow that to 3,000, let's say? And why would I want 3,000?
Well, you may not want 3,000. But then again, you might, because I know one of your goals is to go international. She wants to go internet. She is a senior Canadian hunter-jumper judge.
Oh, okay,
so she
cool.
would like to be able to, yeah, she'd like to do more contracts in the United States. So, Laura, it's very important for you. I would start contacting, I would go to the groups and the fan pages of any of the hunter-jumper type of sites that are on Facebook and start making comments there so people start to know you, and then they'll start clicking on your site more. It is a slow process, and then, like, when you get to 1,500 people, it starts going faster with collecting fans, for lack of a better word, and then now that I've hit 3,000, I've never seen anything quite like it. We're easily getting 75 new fans a week now.
That is true, and I love your the rule of fives there. And I think that's the key to it is if you're adding 5 new friends or you're making 5 comments a day, you just have to be out there and people have to see you, because every time you comment on somebody's wall, everybody that comes to their wall sees it. So they see that conversation going on, and they're curious about who you are. And that's the reason that all of our shows, we probably have, between all the shows we do now, 12,000 to 15,000 people following us. And you're right, Randy, that's growing much faster now.
It's an amazing experience.
You're just out there on so many more walls.
Now, horses in the morning, how many...
Well, we're at approaching 3,000 now,
3,000, yeah.
Just for this show, and then each one of our separate shows on the network has its own fan page.
Right, okay.
So they all sort of feed off each other that way. But I love that rule of fives. I think that's a terrific idea.
It is great. And Laura does something else that's pretty interesting that you might like hearing about too, Glenn. She's gotten into Ustream, and that's a place where anybody can go sign up for free, and you can have your own TV channel. So, Laura, you've been doing that for, like, almost a month now, right?
Yeah, I've done 4 shows, so it's shows, and I use that word loosely, shows. I sit in front of my webcam and talk about what the judge is looking for, and that's what I call the show, is what the judge is looking for, and give tips on what people should consider when they go into the show ring and show in front of a hunter judge. You know, maybe some of the things that we've done, or the opening circle, is it necessary, getting the correct stride between the jumps, all those types of things, what the judge is looking for, the no-no list, you know, those type of things. So that's what I cover off in that. And then I do a little product review, something that I've used within the last week, you know, Bronco horse spray.
That's a great idea, actually. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, she probably has a better face for video than I do.
I don't know about that.
None of us get comfortable with our voices or our faces, do we?
Why I do radio.
I know.
The last time I went out, I was riding, and, you know, you get into the riding situation and something happens and you have to finish it. So then I looked at my watch. It's 1:45 to the time I wanted to start my thing. I just ran in the house, took my helmet off, and put the headphones on, and oh my gosh. So helmet head. So I'm legitimate,
but makes you a real horse person. You a real horse person, and
that's
not
right.
Just some highfalutin judge. See?
Highfalutin.
That's a good thing. Well, thank you, Laura. We appreciate you calling in this morning.
Thank you very much, Laura.
Have a happy Friday. Yep.
Thank you very much. I'm posting on how to market your horse business right now, and hope to...
We'll post something on horses in the morning, too.
Yeah, post something there, too, and happy Canada Day.
Thank you very much.
Happy Canada
Day. Hear from you again. Thank you. Right, bye-bye.
Well, that was nice of her to call. That was a good call, actually. And that's one of the things that Randy does, is she's into social media now and really helps with social media. And where can people find that page if they just search for what on Facebook?
For her page?
No, for your page, the one we were just talking about. Is it How to Market?
How to Market. It's http://, howtomarketyourhorsebusiness on Facebook.
Okay. All right. So just search for How to Market Your Horse Business on Facebook, and you'll find it there.
www.com, Horse and Rider Awareness. Mm-hmm. And we're doing Friend Friday there. You're doing your Freestyle Friday. So what we're doing is we're bringing them both together.
All right. Cool. That sounds great. Well, your guest is actually on the line. Would you like to introduce her and say hi?
Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this beautiful morning?
I am doing awesome.
It's pretty early where you are right now, isn't it, about 6 o'clock?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we get up early every week to win the horses.
You're in Arizona, Glenn's favorite place. Jamie will be so jealous we had somebody here from Arizona today.
I know. My co-host normally on the show lives right outside of Phoenix. So.
Oh, yes, yeah.
She's been keeping us updated on your temperatures every day at 115.
You know, we fortunately where I live, it's a little more towards the northwestern part of the state, so we're probably going to be hitting 102, 103 today.
Oh, well, that's not
pretty hot.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, not bad. It just feels like a warm air dryer out there.
How long have you lived there, Cassie?
You know, I was born and raised here, and it's a small community. And then when I went off to college and pursued my marine mammal training, then I was gone for about 12 years, and my husband and I decided that when we started a family, that we wanted to bring our kids back to a small town and enjoy the small town life.
Wow. Well, there's nothing like a small town, I think. You know, that's where I came from, too. So how was it that you got started? Because what I know from you, and for those listening, I met Cassie on How to Market Your Horse Business, and what impressed me the most was she works with all kinds of animals. You know, in her career, she's worked with different kind of animals and doing different things with them, TV, whatever she needs them for. And so that's where I really got interested in Cassie, and of course, that's when she started making her comments. She's really made a difference for How to Market. But Cassie, could you tell us, how did you started first with horses, and then from there you moved into marine animals, right? Could you tell us how you got started?
Okay. Well, you know, having the experience with the horses, you know, it was a more traditional style of training. So, of course, we learned how to do it the cowboy way. And when I had gone to college, I was exposed to exotics and domestic animals and trained everything from an American badger to parrots to wolves, and had quite a bit of experience at the school. And my goal,
I was telling Glenn about that badger thing, and we both thought it was crazy.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of, how do you teach a badger to do anything?
Except snarl.
except snarl. Like, hey, that is the trick, because she is the badger was probably the one animal I learned the most from in such a short
really?
Amount of time. Yes, because my co-trainer and I had the task of training her to wear a harness so that we could take her to educational presentations at the school that I went college I went to, and local schools. We did educational shows there, and we had to harness train her. So, you know, after trial and error, trying to figure out how to find a harness and make a harness.
Okay, hold on, Kathy. Trial and error with a badger means you lose fingers.
You know, I lost a lot of skin. Yeah,
really?
I have all my fingers.
Oh my
yeah, and
gosh.
You know, it's like Buck says in his movie, you know, riding a horse or working with a horse is like dancing. Well, working with a badger is like dancing, too, but it's more a pop and lock routine because you move your feet a lot. So, you know, we learned to keep her out on a leash, and we knew what time of day was her best, which was usually early in the morning. She was most calm because they're very nearsighted, so they get very aggressive really quickly. And by the end of the show, she was snarling and hanging off the end of our leash while we're trying to negotiate a turn to scoop her up real quick. So I learned how to be really quick with that animal.
Wow. The little ones that'll get you.
It's the little ones, I know. I mean,
who would have even thought somebody would try to train a badger? You know,
I'm always up for a challenge. I mean, you tell me I can't do it and wait to see what happens.
Tell us some of the animals you have trained over the years for TV or movies or whatever.
You know, I helped out on the set of Batman Returns when they did the Michelle Pfeiffer cat bringing back to life.
Did you get to meet Michelle Pfeiffer?
I did not get to meet her. We were basically just doing the mannequin on the ground and getting the cats to go to their spot.
You were going to have me jealous there for a minute. You were really going to have me jealous.
Well, you know, I did meet I've met quite a few celebrities, but, you know, it's one of those things that you get over the celebrity aspect of it, and you're there to do
people.
A job.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. People are people. So
I don't know. If I ever met Carrie Underwood, I'm not getting over that. I think I'd be...
Well, let me put it this way. Men have a harder time getting over things. Women, we're right to business. So I can understand that.
I got slammed on Freestyle Friday.
What's that?
It is freestyle.
I said, I got slammed on Freestyle Friday.
But a friendly
how
slam,
did you
right?
ever end, Cassie, how did you ever end up going from horses to killer whales and dolphins?
Okay.
You know, that picture. I don't know if you have that picture of you on that dolphin. If you can, post it up later on the both pages so they can see it, too. But to train an animal to do something that is, like, so amazing. She's got this picture, Glenn, of her on a dolphin's snout as he jumps out of the water. She's doing that thing where they fly off the front end of the dolphin.
Yep.
It's amazing. So how did you get into that world?
After speaking to some killer whale trainers at SeaWorld when I was in junior high, they recommended this college, so I instantly set my course for that. And when my goal was to train killer whales. And when I graduated, I have a degree in animal behavior. I have a degree in animal training. You know, I just wasn't sure if I really wanted to work for SeaWorld. So I came a little closer to home. And at the Mirage Hotel in Las Vegas, they had just opened a dolphin habitat with 6 dolphins. So I knew that that's where we wanted to be. And when I applied for the job, what got me in was my degree that separated me from someone who just says, oh, I love them, I want to work with them, to showing that there's dedication there. And when I spoke to the curator, he said, the reason you're getting this job is because you have horse experience, because both horse and dolphins are big animals, and they can kill you. So it went hand in hand. I wasn't, you know, delusional in the fact that these animals are huge. So
I think
it was a different salad
training. Really good point there. Cassie, what you said is very true. I think a lot of people, when it comes to an animal like a horse or a dolphin, they have this fantasy, you know, riding this black stallion across the fields of wherever, or, you know, hanging on to the dolphin as they swim through the ocean. But reality is like you say, they're part of our fantasy, but reality is these animals can hurt us as well as make us feel really good.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we had also had an opportunity to work with an autistic program, a five-year research program. And we disproved the theory that the dolphins can cure autism. You know, a lot of people down in Florida were saying, yes, I can cure your child, and that just wasn't necessarily the case. So with dolphins, we had one that was just smart as a tack. I mean, just smart. And we had another one that was dumb as a box of rocks. So they come in between just like any other animal.
Huh, I didn't realize that. You would think that, you know, well, because everybody has the impression that all dolphins are intelligent, you know?
You know, there are some that are intelligent, just like people. We have some very intelligent people, and then we have some that you just want to grab by the hand and walk with them because they just
don't
do
themselves.
Yeah,
that's
true.
So,
you know, it
was some of the smartest.
Is that why
that's
Jennifer
true.
Keeps grabbing my hand? That's
well,
why.
You know, that's what I heard.
Oh, Jennifer. Now we know.
But it's
so
a different
you have
style
a degree in exotic animal training and management.
Yes.
That's what an interesting title.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
So
it's a long-winded title.
So you went, well, mine, obviously all my titles get really long, too. But you were first you started with the dolphins, then you started working with killer whales. That must have been quite a leap of faith.
Well, actually, I had had my experience with the killer whales before I had left the college as well. So that kind of gave me an idea of what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And, you know, listening to some of the horror stories after I started working at the Mirage, I'm quite happy that I didn't necessarily pursue the killer whale training position more than what I had. I still wish that, you know, I can get in there and play, but reality sets in that, you know, it's something that I'm not sure I want to take a risk on.
Yeah.
I think you
were scuba diving at the age of 10.
Yeah. We laughed. My mom was a scuba diving instructor, and, you know, that was really the only time that she wasn't yelling at me is when I was underwater. So, you know, it was a good thing.
I should have learned that at a younger age.
Yeah. Self-preservation.
Trying to take off on the horse, but, oh, neat.
Yeah,
I scuba dived in Blackwater, like in Minnesota, where you can't see anywhere, but I haven't been in the ocean yet.
Yeah. And, you know, and at the Mirage, we had to do all of our diving and cleaning and all of that, too. So it was, you know, a daily task, and, you know, we utilized that as well. So with the dolphins, as far as training goes, I've clicker trained almost every animal that I've trained. And dolphins were the toughest to clicker train because you really had to wait sometimes to capture a behavior. Because you cannot really manhandle a dolphin like you can pick up a horse's leg and show them the easier way. You kind of had to wait for the dolphins to present a particular body part and say, yeah, that's it, that's what I want. So it takes a little bit longer and takes more patience with the dolphins to clicker train as opposed to training horses.
Would you use everything? Oops, sorry, go ahead, Glenn.
Well, I was just going to say we have Shauna Koresh that comes on the show quite a bit with us. And she worked for SeaWorld and actually brought clicker training to the horse world, as you probably know. And she, you know, it's fascinating to learn about how those different things work. What other animals have you worked with, exotics?
Exotics. I've worked with some wolves. I've had reptile experience, which, you know, lizards, snakes, big snakes.
Better you than me. You're in the right place.
I know, and I didn't have as much anxiety about snakes when I went to college, and then when I left college, I had nightmares. So, you know, when my son begged to have a snake, I said, "You better think about this long and hard, and where that snake is staying." So, I kind of gave in to give him the responsibility of that. But yeah, snakes aren't my thing.
In a place where you have a few?
We do, but fortunately, I have a great mouser cat, and he kills anything and everything around the barn, so I don't have to worry too much about that. But some of the other animals
you get some big nasty ones where you are.
Yeah, we do. Fortunately, they rattle.
I heard somewhere that the fire departments work harder at picking up poisonous snakes than they do fires.
Yeah, they do. Not so much around here with us. What's that?
I said just the thought of it. No way do I want to live around fire workers doing more work with the poisonous snakes than fires. Anyway.
You know, and it's just one of those things down in Phoenix, you see a lot more of that because everybody is more city-fied down there, and, you know, they call the fire department first. Here, we just grab a shovel sometimes, you know, we just take care of it right then and there. But I've had some experience with baboons. I helped train an olive baboon, a very neurotic animal, and some pigtail macaques. So it's varied, my training experience.
It does. It sounds like it.
How do you apply what you've been with the animals to how you're training people now? Because you spent so many years working with different animals, I would say that it probably had a big impact on how you're now training people to do what you do.
I tell you, it has a huge impact because to this day I still prefer working with animals. People are the hardest species to train.
You know, every horse, Every horse person, trainer, and coach says the same thing.
Oh, it is. It's difficult. And, you know, and being as a trainer, you know, the body language is the most important key with any animal species. I mean, people, human species has such an ego that we want to understand what animals are saying. But if we don't worry about the name, you know, the vocalizations they make and worry about the body language, then we all do much better. But people tend to be more anthropomorphic, you know, putting the human feelings and emotions on animals. And when you're looking at a person and their horse, a horse that's pushing them around and they think the horse loves them, I mean, that's the hardest thing is to tell them, no, that's not a sweet horse that wants your love. That's a sweet horse that says, hey, you're behind me in the hierarchy. So training the horses is easy. It's getting the people to understand the behavior aspect. You don't have to be mean to them. You don't have to be aggressive with them. You know, you just have to let them know, hey, this is what needs to be done. If you do it, we all get along great.
Well, we believe it or not, we're plain running out of time already, and I have about 1,000 more questions for you. Will you come back sometime when we have a little more
Absolutely.
Time to chat? We'll
Absolutely.
Definitely have
Thank
to have you.
You
back, Kathy. This is terrific, and it sounds like we could learn a lot from you as well. You know, once you've learned how to train all the exotics, you learn so much from them that can be applied over to horses and, I guess, people, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Well,
thank
Kathy,
you so
thank
much,
you so
Kathy.
Much.
Yep. Happy Friend Friday. And what is the link to your website?
It is www.asurethinghorsetraining.com.
And how do you spell
a sure thing?
A sure thing.
Yep.
It's, go ahead.
You better spell that.
Okay. It's A, S as in Sam, CHUERRTHING. Horsetraining.com. It's all one
okay,
word.
Okay, and we posted that on our Facebook page as
Excellent.
Well. So yep. We appreciate you being part of the show, Kathy, and you can go out and feed the horses now.
Excellent. Thank you, Glenn.
All right,
Glenn. You guys have a great day.
Happy first drive. Bye. Bye.
All right, this show today is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. One thing horse people look for in a supplement is a safe, reliable product that will address the challenges facing their horse. The employees at Kentucky Performance Products couldn't agree more. In fact, they feed KPP supplements to their own horses. One of those supplements that they feed is Joint Armor. Joint Armor from KPP provides your horse with the building blocks necessary to maintain healthy joints throughout his lifetime. Kentucky Performance Products Quality Assurance provides you with the confidence that you are purchasing a safe, high-quality product. Your satisfaction is guaranteed every time, and I know Jamie uses Joint Armor for one of her horses. Joint Armor is concentrated and affordable. One jar lasts up to 75 days. It helps maintain fluid motion and flexibility in your horse's joints, and it supports normal cartilage development and reduces joint deterioration. To learn more about Joint Armor from Kentucky Performance Products or all of their terrific products, you can visit kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. And we're going to have Reese Koffler-Stanfield coming up here in a minute and with our monthly Cooking with Reese segment. She has a great recipe for us today. But first, we have another caller on the line, to talk to you, Randy. And her name, I think it's pronounced, is it Levy? We'll find out. How do you pronounce your name?
Hi, my name is Leave.
Leave, okay,
Leave.
Good. Well, welcome, Leave. You're up
Hi,
early,
hello,
too,
Leave.
From California.
Yes, I'm in California, but, you know, during my regular work day as a groom, this is actually late for me. So.
Right. And so what Leave has done is she's created a group. It's called Professional Equestrian Grooms. Did I get the words in the right order, Leave?
It's Professional Equine Grooms.
Thank you.
Oh, you post on our Facebook page, don't you, Leave?
Of course
yes,
I do. It's
does.
Social
yes,
networking. Yes.
Well, welcome to our show.
Good for you.
Yeah. I wanted to ask Randy because I've been listening to the show since you guys started this morning, and Randy said that she got into social media while kicking and screaming. And, you know, thinking back to the old school way of doing marketing, don't you find now that social media is a lot easier?
I think it's gotten easier because we see the value in it. Because I see a lot of people who are coming in and they feel just like I did, like, are you kidding me? So I think it's because we've gotten comfortable with it now. Like, you're very good at what you're doing. You're good with your comments. You're good at drawing people out. So what happens is we get to a point where we were comfortable in the process. But as you've
right.
seen, because you see new people that come on all the time, even posting on how to market your horse business, they really don't know how to do it yet. And so I think we've just gotten comfortable where we are. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. And I'll tell you what I really like in terms of being able to post to social media is having a smartphone, because it makes it so easy. If I'm at work and I can't get to my computer and I'm, you know, I have to hand walk or I have to hand graze something or I'm, you know, standing with the game ready, I can log on my phone and immediately have an update with something that's relevant because I'm working on it right at that very moment. So if I have inspirations during the day, I don't have to file it away where technically it could get lost really easily. So it's
right.
it's the accessibility to be able to, you know, blast out a message instead of, you know, the old-fashioned way of doing a press release or sending out email blasts or something like that. So I find for me in my day it's really convenient to do that. And I don't know how it is for you.
Well, I'm not smart enough for a smartphone yet, so you're way ahead of me.
Oh, you can do it.
It probably wouldn't work on the top of the mountain anyway where she lives.
Well, it might work, but you know what I find is I like to carry a cell phone in my pocket when I ride, and those bigger phones just don't fit right.
No. you might need to upgrade from the bag phone.
Yeah, you have to get a bag for them. That's right. So maybe someday I'll be smart enough to have a smartphone, but so far...
Hey, Lieb, we're gonna I'm gonna have Jennifer get back in touch with you, and we'll get you on sometime to talk about professional equine grooms and what that is.
Yeah, I would love to. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
All right, thanks, Lieb,
thanks for calling.
Go out to work. Yep. Get back to grooming.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
All right,
bye-bye.
All right, we have our regular segment coming up here with our guest. That I just love to have her on. She's so much fun. She's an international dressage competitor, but we don't have her on to talk about dressage. That sounds way too logical. By the way, good morning, Robert. I see that you're listening this morning, and Rhonda for the first time because it's Canada Day. And Robert said that he is now friends with Reese on Facebook. Reese Koffler Stanfield with our Cooking with Reese segment. Good morning, Reese.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you today?
Good. And, of course, you have another vegetarian recipe, and Jamie's not here.
I wish that every time I do that. I was so excited. I found a great recipe for the holiday weekend and had Jamie in mind, and she's not here today. But that is okay. I'm excited to talk with Randy.
Yes, and you'll be excited to know that I'm probably one of the worst cooks you'll ever meet. But I'm always
That's okay.
I looked at your recipe, and it looks great, but I was like, you have to do things like measure food. Who does that?
Well, you know, part of what I try to do is along with have business here at Maple Crest Farm, you know, I'm a wife, and my husband's great sport on all this. As Glenn knows, he is a great horsey husband, so
yes,
I do try to cook and have something for him. It's a real important part of my day. Something that I enjoy doing, and that's kind of how I got into cooking. I wasn't very good at it, and there are still some definite issues that happen, but I enjoy it, and I do try to find recipes that that horse riders, we can take to horse shows, or something that I can grab quickly on my way to the range for lunch and that kind of stuff. So I keep it in mind. It's nothing too complicated, I promise.
Well, I'll tell you what, we had Reese over for a long time on the show here, Randy. We joked because Reese kept saying she was going to invite Jennifer and I over for dinner because we live about 5 miles from each other. And she never did, and then she did, and it was great. We had a great time. Then we finally invited her over for dinner, and we got takeout. So,
Glenn, remember we had dinner I went to Fresh Market and I just put it in other dishes so it sort of looked like I did it, but it was right after Rolex and we were all exhausted we all do that. I just, you know, mine was takeout too. I just didn't really tell you, but I cheated.
So what's our recipe for today?
So when we talked last Thursday at dinner, Jennifer requested something for the holiday weekend. So with that in mind, you know, I always find 4th of July, it, in many places it's hot. Here in Kentucky, we've actually had a really pretty week, but it's supposed to be kind of warm this weekend. So I didn't want anything mayonnaise-based or anything that you have to worry about really going bad. So, and with that in mind, too, we have lots of veggies coming out here in Kentucky, and this is a recipe for cold Spanish salad soup. And my sister, Lindsay Koffler Cassidy, came up with this recipe actually a number of years ago because we had a garden, and I think she got tired of eating, you know, veggies the same way. So she came up with a soup, and it's a great soup.
So it's cold, huh? It's a cold.
It's actually cold.
Cold Spanish salad soup.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a gazpacho. She changed the recipe from a gazpacho a little bit. But I actually make a big batch of this on Sunday or after I go to our cute little local orchard. And I make a lot of this because I keep it in the fridge so that I package it in individual packages and I have it for lunch when it's really hot. So I actually eat this a lot.
Tell us about it.
Okay, so it starts with 4 medium large tomatoes, quartered. And basically, don't worry about this whole recipe. You just need to get things small enough to get it in a food processor or a blender.
I just bought a new food processor. I can use it on this.
Oh, you can use it. Oh, it'll be perfect. It'll be perfect. Okay. So a half a medium onion chopped, a half a large cucumber sliced, a half a large green bell pepper sliced, five fresh parsley sprigs, or in my world, that's a handful of parsley, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, 2 garlic cloves minced. Do mince them because you don't want a hunk of garlic. You want to make sure that it gets nice and chopped up. 2 tablespoons of olive oil. Yeah, I know. Yeah, don't skip that side. 2 tablespoons of olive oil helps make your coat shiny. 2 tablespoons of red wine vinegar.
That helps you make your coat shiny, too.
That makes your coat shiny, too. Exactly. 3/4 of a teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce. That's a hard one to say. 1/2 a cup of ice water. Now, this next ingredient, I don't tell my clients it's in the recipe when I have it and I'm teaching lessons, but 1/2 a cup of red wine.
Oh, that
helps,
too. White
wine.
That helps make everything shinier.
But you can absolutely replace this. Just use that 1/2 more cup of water. You'll be just fine. But I definitely like a little 1/2 a cup of red wine in there. The recipe calls for 1/8 a teaspoon of fresh basil. I add a little more. I really like basil, so I, again, add a handful of basil. And 2 dashes of hot sauce, and that's optional. When Travis eats it, he puts about 5 dashes of hot sauce in his one bowl. So it's completely up to what you like. And then to garnish it, you want to slice some green onion tops, some croutons, and some sour cream. And that's optional. And all you do, it's really easy, you just stick everything in the food processor and you blend it or process it till it's chopped. And I like my consistency. You still want to know it's vegetables. You want to pulverize it. Keep your veggies a little crunchy. And you serve it. I chill mine for a little while because I like it really cold. But serve chilled and garnished with green onions, croutons, and sour cream.
I do have a question for you. Does it come out the consistency? Doesn't come out the consistency of salsa, right? It actually comes out more the consistency of soup?
Well, it really depends on how much you push that button.
Right.
If you like a little more salsa-like consistency, go for it. If you like it a little bit, I go a little smoother than salsa, but not liquid. So I actually feel like I'm getting something in my stomach.
I was thinking this would make a good salsa, actually, if you just didn't chop it quite as fine. It would probably make a good salsa. Yeah.
Oh, it'd be great. Those are just the veggies that my sister had in the recipe, but I have put everything in it. I sort of use it as, when your veggies, you're like, oh, my gosh, I've got to get those veggies on the grill or use them. It's a perfect recipe to do that. So you can get creative. This is as long as you just keep the olive oil, red onion, all that stuff pretty consistent.
Did
and
you
then
add cilantro to that too? Did you have cilantro
you
in
could.
That too?
Absolutely.
I love
like
cilantro.
Parsley. I do too. I do too.
I just learned about cilantro on the last year, as a matter of fact.
Isn't it
I'm
good?
A little slow.
No, cilantro is an interesting ingredient. It's one of those. Some people love cilantro. I love it, and some people
yes.
don't like it. So
I've
it's one
that.
Of those. Travis actually doesn't like parsley, but I don't think he knows it's in here.
How could he even? How could you not like parsley? It's just put into everything.
I don't know. He doesn't like it. So I don't. We don't garnish anything with parsley. He's like
you
he says
you
it's
garnish
like
the
grass.
Food at your place. You actually garnish your food when you serve it at home.
Sometimes.
Wow.
Sometimes. Again,
that's
you know, that's,
so
I guess that's
sophisticated.
Why I'm on here.
I mean, you know what else
yeah,
I was
I
thinking could go in here to add a little sweetness, too, is carrots.
Yep, absolutely.
You could add a little sweetness to compensate for the hotness. With
yep.
carrots would be good in here, too.
That'd be great. So really, I mean, really, that's the beauty of this recipe. Once you sort of learn the technique, then you can really, really, really add whatever you like. And I love it. I have some in the fridge now, and I make it on Sunday and just kind of have it all week, and I really like it in the summer. So
well, I love this.
Money.
This is great. And, you know, it's sad Randy's not here to see it because there's not one meat product in here at all.
I know. I did one other vegetarian recipe, and Frankie was here. So every
that's
time
right.
I pick a vegetarian recipe, I Facebook her and ask her she's going to be on. But, yeah, so it's a great recipe, great for the summer, and I hope it's good for the holiday weekends for everybody.
All right. Well, we posted it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. The recipe is up there now, so you can find it there.
I might even have to try to make it.
That's
Randy,
what, yes.
I think you're going to have
Randy,
to.
Randy, Facebook me and let me know how it goes when you make it, because it's
I will.
You can make this. This is not hard.
That's what they always say.
Yeah.
Reese, I got to
so
ask
you. Can chop.
I got to ask you another question. I didn't know there was a sister, Lindsay.
You never met my sister? Oh,
no.
Glenn, you're missing out. You have got to meet my sister. Yes. Actually, my sister has more international medals than I do. She
really?
Was a silver medalist at the Young Rider Championships. Yep, she rode a horse named Alfredo, and she was the youngest rider to ever be longlisted at Gladstone at Meteor 1. She finished 11th. She has she won the gold medal at the Coupe de Marique. I can't remember the year. I thought you knew that. My poor mother and dad raised two girls with horses, so it was
wow.
Daddy, I want a saddle. Daddy, I want a saddle. He's trying to say, oh, yeah. Oh, God, I can't believe. Yes, I have a very accomplished sister who rides. She just had a wonderful baby who is like the apple of my eye, and I just adore him. You know, he's almost like mine, but I give him back. So I just love that.
Is she in the area
man.
Here? Is she in the Lexington area?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a trainer, but now she actually works at my dad's office as an ophthalmic tech. But she's a wonderful instructor, and sometimes I bring her out to the farm if I have a horse I need her to look at or a student I need some help with, she'll show up with the baby, and it is a lot of fun. Oh, yeah, and I have a brother as well. His name is Ian, and he's an attorney in Cincinnati, and his wife also rides. That's how they met. She was a student of mine and boarded at our barn, and they have
well,
a three-and-a-half-year-old niece. Corinne, yeah, and one on the way. So, yeah,
wow.
we're all horsey around here, and my niece is horse crazy, and my brother, we tease him, and he just says it's a defective gene in our family. Can't help it. We all like horses. So, yeah, absolutely.
I'm
going to
keep that in mind, defective gene. I like that.
Defective gene, yeah, it's a defective gene. And
I don't
I think
it's defective. I think that's it should be something like an enhanced gene.
That's what I think, you know. And
you know,
my poor dad, he had no chance with my mom. So,
hey,
yeah, no, the copper, we were a lot of people in our family that ride. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Buck yet?
Oh, I saw it last night. It is wonderful. Everybody, go see it. It's a wonderful movie. My mom and
well,
I went last night.
We have the producer, Cindy, on here very shortly. She's going to be on the show in a couple of minutes. So we're going to be talking.
Oh, I just loved it. Tell her it was just wonderful.
Yeah, everybody that has seen it, I haven't found anybody that said they didn't like it. Jennifer and I loved it. We're thinking about going back and seeing it a second time tonight. It just surprised us in so many ways, and I get goosebumps just thinking about that movie. So
I do too. It's a great. Just saw it. Loved it.
Okay.
Saw it last night.
We're not going to give away. We're not going to give anything away. But did you jump and scream at that one point?
Oh yeah. There's a point in the movie that actually I got sick to my stomach. I have to be honest. There's a point in the movie, not to give anything away. I'll let the producer do that. But there's a point in the movie. I think it was a really interesting take on people with horses. And it just, I came home and I just kissed all my horses and just I think it's a great movie and I would love to meet him. And I am a trainer who enjoys other disciplines as well. We're going, my best friend's a saddlebred rider, so I'm going to the Junior League horse show next week, and I think that we can all learn a lot from each other, and different disciplines are interesting, and there was a dressage rider in the movie. Oh, is that giving anything away?
Yeah, there was. No, but there was, actually. You're right. Yeah, which I was kind of surprised, but she was there. Well, Reese, we have to get out of here. Thank you so much for coming
back again
this month, and we'll see you again soon.
Hey, Reese, thanks for the rest of the day. Hey, Reese, real quick.
Give me your website address real quick.
Oh, absolutely. MapleCrestFarmKY.com or friend me on Facebook. I would love it. I'm getting into the social media too, so love it. And everybody have a good holiday.
All right. Bye, Reese.
You too. Right, bye,
thanks,
Reese.
Bye.
Isn't she a sweetheart?
Yes.
She's
and
so
a
much
good
fun.
Cook.
Yes, she is, actually. We've eaten her food. She actually did cook a little bit of it. She was kind of fibbing there a little bit to make me feel better because I bought everything. All right, so let's we're going to have our song coming up here for today, and we got a special one for you. But first, we want to take a caller, Stacy from Indiana. Thank you so much for holding on, Stacy. We appreciate it.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Randy.
Hey, Stacy. How are you doing today? Happy Friend Friday.
Good. Happy Friend Friday. I was calling in because all of us over on How to Market Your Horse Business recently were talking about not being a wallflower and getting out there and doing some more talking publicly or with our own clients. And I wanted to mention how the social media stuff that Randy shares with everybody really applies to the real world, too. So when you get out and you're talking to clients, it's easy to take some of the ideas that Randy shares with everybody so generously and then transform it over to your clients.
Isn't that the truth? I've noticed
did
that.
Did you pay all these people, Randy, to call in?
No, I thought you did. I thought you did, Glenn. And you're so right, Stacy. And have you found it also has been making a difference in, like, your family relationships as well?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah, it crosses over anywhere, all the stuff. Anytime you have to be social, interact, and it's very easy to get into it and practice more with the social media because it's not face-to-face. You get to test the waters a little bit here and there with different ideas that you've got. I find that a lot of the stuff I would – go ahead.
Well, I was – Randy, you're breaking up a little bit there. You still there?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yep, there you are. Okay.
All right.
You're good.
All right. All right. So I'm back on again. Well, we never know. We're on the Skype on the side here too, Stacy. So, Stacy, could you tell us what you're doing up there in Indiana?
We are a riding lesson training program, and we also are beginning our brand new programs with at-risk people, adults and children. And we're working in the Indianapolis area at Open Door Equine in McCordsville, Indiana, just about 5 minutes outside of Indianapolis.
And you probably noticed that the people you're working around, even those that are challenged mentally or physically, being around, I call it the spirit of the horse, it's a life-changing thing for most people, for a lot of people. Don't you find that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I love doing it so much. Because when you get the horses next to the people who really need help, whether it's and a lot of people don't realize they have an issue that they're working on. And when they come for regular riding lessons, some of these issues come up and it really applies. And I've had clients come back and say, oh, this changed at work. This person did this, and it was because of what I did with this horse over here. Remember that day? And then it's just, yes, yes, oh, it's great, wonderful. So it's a good thing. I mean, it's a way to make money, but the more important part for me is working with the people and getting them over hurdles, anxiety, ADD, ADHD, that kind of stuff. It's a lifestyle. It's not just play with horses.
You know
what?
I was just going to say I have severe ADD, so I'll be signing up, and we're not too far from Indiana. So
awesome. Love to have you.
That's right. We're all up in the same neighborhood. I find that horses really teach people to communicate, too.
Definitely. Definitely.
Well, Stacey, we are a little limited on time right now. We have the producer of Buck coming up here shortly, and we are only going to get her for a few minutes, and we're so excited about that. Thank you so much for giving us a call. Please call us back again sometime.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Stacey. Happy Friend Friday.
Same to you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Our song today is sponsored by Pocket Stable. How do you keep track of your horse's information like farrier visits and shots? Do you have a box full of receipts like we do? Do you have post-it notes, or maybe perhaps you just don't keep track at all and you just guess when the shots are due or when the farrier's due to come out? Well, the solution to the problem is right there in your iPhone. It costs $3.99, and it's called Pocket Stable. It keeps all your horse's information in one easy-to-get-to place, including vaccines and wormings and farrier and dentist visits and even the weight of your horse. You can find Pocket Stable in the App Store on your iPhone, or you can visit them at pocketstable.com. And as I understand it, she's looking at coming out with the Droid version for all you Droid users like me very shortly. So that should be happening very shortly. Well, we're going to be back with our guest. We're going to have Cindy on, who is the producer of Buck and who actually started the company, the Cedar Creek Productions Company. And we're looking forward to having her on here in just a minute. And we're going to be back. But first, we want to play our song for the day. Monday, we're going to put up a recorded episode of the show because it is a holiday, July 4th, and I thought there would be nobody better to have for the recorded episode than a replay of Trish Lynn, who has the All-American Cowgirl Chicks. So we're going to be replaying that. And, of course, this weekend, July 4th weekend, there are more rodeos in the United States than any other weekend of the year. So this is for all you out there risking your lives at the rodeo this weekend, and in honor of Monday's show from Trish Lynn, Rodeo World.
Howdy, everybody. I'm Bob Dahlman. Welcome to Fort Worth, Texas. Now, the higher they jump, the better they buck, the better you ride, more money to win. It's rodeo time, ladies, let's ride.
Hey, I'm real proud of the life I'm living. With that luck, girls, I will keep on giving. Rolling down the road to the next show. It's a big thing we call the rodeo. They ride bulls and broncs from Fort Worth to Austin. My cowboy friends, yeah, they're awesome. It's where the cowgirl chicks ride for the red, white, and blue. It's the rodeo show, rodeo show. Come on out to the rodeo. You got your wild, wild west kicking up kid dust. Work real hard, yeah, we give our best. You got your bucking shoes, Justin boots. Saturday night, yeah, that's what we do. Made in the USA. With a kick of rock. Yeah, I've been to Nashville and had my knock, so I came home where I belong, back to Texas where my roots are strong. And I admit my heart got broke, so I cowgirled up, had my mind made up that I was gonna make it to the real big show.
Rodeo.
It's the rodeo show, rodeo show. Come on out to the rodeo. You got your wild, wild west kicking up kids up. Rodeo show, come on out to the rodeo. You got your wild, wild west kicking
I just love that. It just gets you in the mood. And anybody that's ever been to a rodeo, that just gives you goosebumps and wants to make you go see another one. Trish will be here on Monday morning. We'll be replaying an episode, the musical episode we did with her, playing a lot of her music and talking about the All-American Cowgirl Chicks, who I'm sure are performing this weekend at a rodeo someplace. Well, I think we actually just heard from, unfortunately, we just heard from Cindy, and it looks like, we just heard from Cindy's people, and she is running late on a train, so we're seeing if we can still get a hold of her or not, Randy, so we're working on that. Welcome to live radio, by the way. And Randy,
good morning.
There you are.
Here I am. I'm right here. I know we have to do the sound checks all the time.
So, yeah, so we're seeing if we can get them on. I don't know. Jennifer could probably tell us what's going on with that.
we're calling furiously back and forth across the country, literally,
okay.
At this very
okay.
moment. We're having some technical issues with some telephones, and as the stars would have it, the technical issues with telephones are lining. But I expect to hear from Buck Brannaman in the next 3 minutes or so.
Oh, so
from Buck himself?
Buck himself.
Oh,
wow.
We love you, Cindy.
Buck was
wow.
the backup to Cindy?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not too bad. I have to rethink now my interview.
Yes, you're going to have to rethink. Now, so we're going to cross our fingers that little chunk of technology works, because that's also depending on cell phone service.
Yeah, Buck's always in places where the cell phone doesn't work so good.
Yeah, he is. And he's probably out west where it's really, really early. So, you know, like you said, welcome to live radio. It's a lot of fun.
You know, they never said what time he gets up in the morning on the movie.
They do show him drinking coffee a lot.
That's true.
Wow.
And you know what I thought was the most interesting part about the little camera shots of him, you know, getting up in the morning and he's got his coffee pot and he's poured in and he's in his camper that's in the front of his rig. He drinks his coffee, makes his coffee in an old-fashioned cowboy camping-style percolator pot.
Yes, he does.
Really?
Yep. And
well,
you know,
all I can say is I like your hat.
You know that stuff has coffee. It has coffee in it, and it's black could be. You can just picture that.
Well, yeah, and it's probably, you know, pre-World War II era molecules still in there.
Wow.
Hey, Randy, you know something I've always wanted to do, and we're going to do this one of these days. We keep talking about we're going to get together with Equitrekking, with Darlie up at Equitrekking Travel, and we're going to put together a trip for the listeners of our shows and for the Equitrekking listeners or fans, and we're going to get together, go to a dude ranch, like 100 of us, and we're just going to spend a couple days at a dude ranch, and I want to be on the chuck wagon. I want to help. In Buck's movie, there actually was a chuck wagon in the one scene. Remember that, Jennifer? I elbowed Jennifer and said, "Look, there's a chuck wagon."
So funny.
That's hilarious.
That's what I want to do. And we did get an email from Cindy's assistant saying she apologizes. She's on a train to New York City, and the train is running late, and she has no reception. So if it falls through today, if we don't hear back from Buck, we'll definitely get them both on another day for sure. So, Randy, tell us, you know, you spent a long time in Florida. You were down there in Wellington in the whole show scene. You know, why did you leave that to move to the mountains of North Carolina?
Well, the main reason was, as I've shared before, my body just started shutting down in the heat. You know, it reaches about 95 degrees and I pass out. But while I was in Wellington, I started getting more and more into coaching people, which, you know, I never thought I would be doing that, because most people who get in the horse world think they're going to be training horses forever. So I started coaching, and while I was doing it, I was introduced, somebody from the Horsemanship Safety Association approached me and asked me if I would help them train and certify their clinicians and instructors. And so that took me into a whole different world. You know, for the first time, I started actually teaching professional coaches, trainers, and instructors, and it opened up so many things for me. So what it did is I realized then that I really didn't want to stand at the show ring all day long.
Right.
That wasn't where my heart really, and I could have easily have gone in that direction, but I wanted to be with people like us. You know, I found my greatest joy was in inspiring them.
Well, you know, and two, I think too, you get to a certain age, and you know, like I did with the Horse Radio Network, it was like, okay, I was done doing what I had been doing previously. It was time to do something different and something that I've always wanted to do my entire life. It was my dream, and it was just time to do it.
Yes, and we follow that inspiration. You know, a lot of people aren't comfortable with that, but you know, a lot of us are. And I followed my dreams, and that's where that began a new adventure for me.
You know, Cindy, who is the founder of Cedar Creek Productions, the one who is on the train right now, she was actually has a fascinating story. She was actually a clothing designer and decided to start this production
yes.
company so that she could do the movie, and that's how it all came about. You know, it was, and I wanted to ask her, one of the questions when we finally do get her on here either today or next week, is I really do want to ask her, you know, I don't think I would have the guts to think I could start a production company to make a major movie with no experience.
You probably would. I think people like us and Jennifer, you sound like that too. We're the kind of people where when something comes to us that's an inspired thing, we will do it.
Well,
we may
true.
Not think we I mean, can, but we find a way to do it. Who? Look at you, Glenn. You've got 8 radio shows. The Horse Radio Network, that's huge. Who would even think that far?
I'd like to think it was all planned and I thought that far, but it wasn't. It was just that everything sort of happened and I just sort of happened to be here.
Thank you, Jennifer, for doing that.
And, you know, it is nice, though, that Jennifer at this point gets to work full-time with the Horse Radio Network. We've always worked together, and some couples cannot work together successfully, but we've always worked together. It was in the recent couple of years that we hadn't, and now we are back to working together again. I love it. I think it drives her insane sometimes because she has to deal with me, but that's another story, I think.
I think she's got you pretty well trained. I've heard that whip sound that you have back there in your studio.
This one.
There you go.
Yeah, she definitely she definitely does. She keeps me straight, and she keeps everything. Go ahead.
Why did you decide to go into the Horse Radio Network? What inspired you to do that, Glenn? Because that's like so far out there for most people to even conceive of.
I wanted to do a little bit of a radio show with Helena, my friend, who we do the Stable Scoop show and the Tack and Habit show together. And we just wanted an excuse to get together to talk once a week. So we decided the podcasting was coming into play back then, 3 years ago now. And that's how it started. I just called Helena up one day and said, let's do a little show. I think I figured out the technology. We can do this without too much trouble. And who cares if anybody listens? We'll just have a good time getting together every week and chatting. And that's what happened. We started getting together every week and chatting, and it went from there. The live show was, I always like to be the first at doing things. And, you know, I started Tack and Habit, which was one of the first, was the first site to sell one item a day in the horse world. It's very Tack of the Day, rather. And there's a lot of, I know our listeners that know about Tack of the Day and go there. It's run by Bit of Britain. So I started that when I was working with John, but I wanted to be first. And when we had so many shows, weekly shows, recorded shows, podcasts on the network, I said, you know, there's no live morning show for the horse world. And I bet you horse people would love to listen live while they're cleaning stalls or while they're off work. And that's how the live show came about. I actually talk about social media. New listeners won't know this, but I found Jamie on Facebook. We put a blind posting on all of our pages, on all of our show pages on Facebook, and we said, host wanted for new show. That was it. We didn't say what new show. We didn't say how often or whatever. And we had them leave voicemails, and we had 80 voicemails. And Jennifer and I got drunk one night listening to them. We got the booze out, and we decided that we were all going to have a good time listening to the voicemails. And when I heard Jamie's, I called her back in about 2 seconds. And she was the only one I called back that night. And I said, you have got to be part of this. And I'm so glad I did. She's such a terrific part of the morning show.
Yeah, she is. She's amazing. I love listening to her. I like listening to you, too. And now Jennifer's also doing the daily horse tips, right?
Yeah, Jennifer has taken over Horse Tip Daily, and she will be hosting that show. She's learning the technology. Yesterday she was getting a little frustrated because she has to learn to edit shows and do the whole part of it. So she was getting a little bit frustrated yesterday because when you're first learning something, it just takes forever. You know how that goes.
Oh, yes. I've been working with Camtasia learning how to edit videos and stuff. And it is, at first, it's very overwhelming.
But, and I do want to say that Jennifer's still working on getting Buck on the line. So that's why we're vamping here. So everybody hold on because this will be a special treat we were not counting on today if we can actually get him. She's trying to get through the hotel phone system to actually get him on the line. He's probably still in bed. I don't know if we're waking him up or what. But
I'm sure Cindy's called him by now. You just have to get through that the hotel system, which in itself will be a feat.
I hear her chatting in there. So. I see her chatting.
Imagine?
So let's hope that we end up getting him on the line here very shortly. And you definitely, it's coming to your area. I know that you do want to go see it. You have not had the opportunity yet, but I do know what you want to go see it.
It's coming to our area on Friday, so I'll be able to see it this weekend.
Okay, good. Terrific. That's super. You do. I tell you what, it was a great movie. And if anybody listening right now has seen the movie, give us a call and tell us your thoughts about it, 347-637-3238. And also, if you have any questions, I do see a question on Facebook from Jen Cook who says, could you ask whether there are any plans to release Buck in Canada? And yes, we will do that because we have a lot of Canadian listeners, and a lot of them are listening today because of Canada Day. So we will definitely ask that as well. And I think he's actually trying to call us now. So we're going to see if we can see him calling in here. It is sometimes interesting trying to do live radio and get people actually on the phone. That can be fun sometimes. What else? What's coming up for you? I wanted to ask you. You're sort of a social media guru. Google has a new Facebook. They're introducing their new Facebook type system. What do you think is going to happen there?
I think there's so much stuff out there right now. Google came out with the Buzz. Remember when they came out with that?
Yeah,
nothing's really happened. I would say it's going to be very hard with today's social media networks to bypass like Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, or Twitter. But who knows what
the one thing Google is doing right, and I have not gotten an invitation. It's invitation only for that right now. But the one thing they're doing right, from what I hear, is they're making it very, very easy to control the access. In other words, with Google's new one, you're going to be able to have what they call circles of friends. You can have your work circle, your family circle, and you'll be able to limit what everybody sees down to the minute details in each circle. So that it's going to be much more controlled about what you can show people. So in other words,
it's the same thing. They do that on Facebook too. You can do that same thing.
Not easily. Facebook buries everything about 20 layers deep.
Isn't that truth?
Yeah.
When you get used to it, it changes again.
Yeah, and they don't tell you they're going to change it. It just changes.
That's right.
And I think that's what Google's trying to overcome. We'll see. You know, when MySpace was huge, by the way, MySpace was bought in 2006 by Rupert Murdoch's group for $560 million. It just sold 2 days ago for $35 million.
But
years ago, everybody was on MySpace and everybody was saying nothing will replace MySpace. So you can't ever say that, you know, nothing will replace Facebook, because there's a good chance that something might at some point.
We never know, and we never know where social media will take us. Who would have thought it would have taken us where we are now?
That's right. You're absolutely right.
You won the Equestrian Social Media Awards this last year as the favorite best newcomer.
And now there's 50 more newcomers, and we'll never win again.
Well, you can't be a newcomer more than once, probably. But you never know. You never know, because now you're really deep into social media, and I found that made a big difference in the campaign I was doing. So I had How to Market Your Horse Business came in second for Facebook. Horse and Rider Awareness came in second place for Most Informative, and that's, you know, the international things. And then both of them together won third place in YouTube.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I was up against as you know, companies with entire staffs that do their social media and stuff. And I used nothing except social media. And it was the fans and followers of social media who got me into the position that I did. It was a very humbling experience.
I bet. You know, I don't think we could do this show as effectively without Facebook. Having a place that the listeners can go and chat with each other, that we can post the links and the pictures and everything that we talk about here on the show, just wouldn't happen as well without Facebook, for sure.
Yeah, and I like the way you use it to interact the two together. You make it's a lot of fun. I see there's a whole different community that'll talk on Facebook that won't get involved directly with you on the phone.
Yeah, you know, we were surprised. We thought that we would have more people wanting to chat on Facebook, but I think what happens is, you got to remember, our numbers are like this. Half the people listen at work, so they can't call us.
Right.
And so Facebook is easy and convenient for them. By the way, that number keeps decreasing, I think, because they keep getting in trouble. And then the other, you know, a good percentage of the people actually listen to our recorded shows. So we have about 80% that still listen to our recorded shows. And that's and it looks like we do have Buck here at last. This is a pleasant and a wonderful surprise, everybody. We were supposed to have Cindy on, and she apparently is stuck on a train. And I would say that Buck's probably never been a backup to a producer, but Buck, I am thrilled to have you on the show. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I don't think that I'll be asking Cindy to back me up at one of my deals.
Probably not a good idea, unless you need it filmed, of course. Hey, Buck, my wife and I went to see the movie last week here in Lexington, Kentucky. Of course, horse capital of the world, right?
And
I got to tell you, it was nothing. It was nothing like I expected it to be, but it was so much more. It turned out to be, I got goosebumps just sitting here talking to you about this. It was an unbelievably terrific movie, whether you're a horse person or not. And congratulations. What a good ride.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard a lot of good things about it. But thank you for sharing what you've been doing with the rest of the horse world.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You know, Buck, I got to tell you, were you happy with the final result? And I know, you know, that's tough to ask you to be honest about that. But a lot of people that they do movies about them, at the end they go, it wasn't anything like I thought it would be, and they're disappointed.
No, you know, I was real happy with it. But going into it, I already had a relationship with Cindy. We were friends, and so we'd gotten to know each other enough that I knew that she wouldn't disappoint me, and she would be the best one out there to be able to tell the story. And interestingly enough, even though she had never directed a film before, what I found was really interesting was most of the time you have a filmmaker that then searches for a project, something compelling to tell. And she already had the compelling story that she wanted to tell, and it turned her into a filmmaker. And I think maybe because of that is really why she did such a great job. I was really pleased.
And you, one of the things that I was pleasantly surprised with in the movie was how your family came into it, your daughter. That's a part that I had never heard about before. And how much she is emulating you at this point and really may become, another Buck here in another 10, 20 years.
Well, you know, what's really neat as a parent is that yes, she's emulated me because we like the same things. She loves to ride and loves to rope and loves the livestock. But at the same rate, she is very much her own person. She's got her own identity. And the older she gets, the more she really is her own person. And that is just really cool, because just being a mini me probably wouldn't be the best thing for my daughter, to be honest with you.
She is a heck of a rider, too.
She's handy, yeah.
Yeah,
I'll bet she's a heck of a person, too.
She is. She's I'm so proud of her. She's really a good girl.
I thought that Cindy did a great job, too, and I don't want to give away anything. As a matter of fact, Buck, we're getting Facebook messages like crazy right now. I'm going to see Buck next Tuesday. It's so good to hear him. And people, we have a lot of Canadian listeners who are asking if it's going to be released in Canada. Do you know?
You know, I don't know, but I've been getting some calls, too, because I do a handful of clinics in Canada. I don't do very many up there just because I'm so busy here in the States, but I can't imagine that it won't be released in Canada as you know, that's a big horse country, too. So,
but at the same rate,
you know, as you said, it doesn't have to just be horse people that it appeals to, and that's what I'm so pleased about that Cindy did, that it's, we always wanted it to be something that had an appeal and touched the hearts of people that weren't necessarily horse people.
Right. I gotta tell you too. There was, and I'm trying not to give away too much for those that haven't seen it yet. But so I'll talk cryptically about this, and when they see it, they'll understand what I mean. There was the one part in the movie that literally had us jump out of our seats. By the way,
yeah.
The whole audience screamed and jumped, and you know what part I'm talking about.
Yeah.
How that ended up, I was so happy that it didn't get what I call Disney-fied. You didn't change the outcome, or the producer of the movie actually didn't change the outcome to make it everybody lived happily ever after, because that doesn't always happen.
Well, and really and truly, we labored with that, and again, I'll try not to ruin it for everybody too, because I hate it when someone tells me what happens in a movie, there was a bigger message in that I am so pleased that whether it's in New York City or Sheridan, Wyoming, that the audience got the point to it. They got the bigger message that was intended in that. And
what would you say your biggest message was in this movie, Buck?
Basically to me, there was two major points to me, and that is, whether you're going to have horses or dogs or children, with that comes a great responsibility. And it's not just in keeping them fed and a roof over their head. It's to teach them, to help them learn how to get along in the world, and to do your part when you have an opportunity to affect the rest of something or someone's life. And people really did get that. And through part of the story, they will see that just as easily could have been me.
Well, and it really, those two points really came across. I mean, this was one of those movies, Buck, that when you leave it, you know, you've seen okay movies, but this was one of those movies that you talk about for a long time after. And in my opinion, that's what makes for a great movie.
Well, it's, you know, there's been a lot of my friends have called me and said, a bunch of us got together, went to the film, and now we've all seen it three or four times. And that's what you hope for, that it's a profound enough message in it, that it's entertaining and thought-provoking and emotional in a good way. You know, when people would leave the theater and they would leave the theater crying, they were not crying because they were sad. They were crying because they were moved. And those kind of emotions never hurt anybody.
That is so beautifully said, the way you say what you're saying, Buck. That's just beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
You know, I have a couple silly questions for you, because we are a morning show and we deal with silly. The coffee in the morning, you really do still make it in the old pot?
Yeah, I do. You know, when I'm... excuse me. I was just choking on some coffee there as you spoke.
I'm picturing black as black could be.
Actually, when I first met Mary, my wife, I was, she probably thinks a bit of a caveman, because I would drink any kind of coffee from any truck stop, from anywhere, as long as it was the right color. And I have to admit, she's turned me into a coffee snob. You know, I get up and make my little pot of Starbucks coffee every morning.
You've gone over to the dark side.
Yeah. I had to meet her in the middle. You know, she was raised in Boulder, Colorado, which is, you know, kind of the Berkeley of the Rocky Mountains. So,
right.
You know, they all have to have their little Gucci cup of coffee there. I'll be darned if she didn't turn me over, and now I'm kind of a coffee snob, too.
I didn't see any scenes in that movie of you driving into a Starbucks to get an espresso latte with vanilla cream.
No, I don't do all that. I don't do that tutti frutti coffee.
I like the tutti frutti.
I figured.
Yeah, what can I say?
I know we're running out of time here. What have you taken away now since the movie? First of all, my second silly question is, are you the next Clint Eastwood now you're going to Hollywood or what?
Well, no, I don't really. For me, I'm not delusional about this at all. I know that this will, you know, it'll be very exciting for a while, and then everybody will move on, and I'll be back to being me driving down the road with my truck and horse trailer and doing
what
I've always
really
done.
And your really cool hat. You've really got a nice hat. I like that hat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. In the future, I'm actually going to do, I wrote a book called The Faraway Horses. It's been out for a while. And it's more of an in-depth story of my life, and which is you can do that in a book form. And
right.
The goal all along has been to do a feature film that really centers on my brother and I and our family when we were young and kind of growing up and what really got me to where I am today, a lot of the life experiences, and some of them are, of course, quite dark. And I wrote this book with the intent of it being a book of hope that it's not necessarily a guarantee that your life is going to turn out poorly just because you maybe had a dark beginning. And so I will end up doing a feature film. In fact, we may be signing a deal today. Interestingly.
Well, congratulations with that.
Congratulations.
You know, we actually had Smokey on the show a couple months ago. He's been on the show before, and he just reminded me too of the old Cowboys Cowboy.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
Well, thank you, Buck. We really appreciate you being here. Congratulations,
yes.
And what a terrific movie. I wish, you know, we're definitely still going to get Cindy on because I have to congratulate her, too. It was just well done.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed talking to both of you.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye, Buck.
All right. Happy trails.
Happy Friday.
Well, there you go. What a coup. Good job, Jennifer.
Yeah,
you did
go
it.
Jennifer.
Oh, so, Jennifer, you can come off mute now. I need to ask you a question. So we talked to each other on chat here during the show so that Janie or Randy in this case and Jennifer and I can all talk. And I said, Jennifer, do you have any questions? And I got, nope, starstruck. That really helped, by the way. That was helpful.
I'm not the on-air person on purpose. You cannot depend on me in a pinch.
What a good guy. You know, he came across just like he did in the movie. I was hoping that would be the case. Actually, he was a little bit lighter here, you know, chatting with us early in the morning.
Well, I can pretty much guarantee that's the first time he's done an interview since the film that somebody asked him what kind of coffee he has. I can guarantee
you're
it.
You're probably right, Jennifer.
We're a morning show. That's what we do.
Hello.
And Janie's going to be so jealous now. I just texted Janie. I don't know what time it is. It's early there. She's probably not even out of bed yet. But I texted her and said, we had Buck and you weren't here.
And he was such a good sport. He was not scheduled to do this morning.
No.
Yeah.
No, Jennifer, I did get an email from them and several voicemails, so they feel bad. But Cindy still does want to come on, and I do want to still have her on. So.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many behind the scenes and how a film gets made and how all this stuff happens. I think it's going to be a fascinating story.
We'll talk to her next week for sure. Well, that's it. We're running out of time, Randy. Thank you so much for joining us today. Give everybody your website again.
You can go to horseandriderawareness.com or howtomarketyourhorsebusiness.com, and they're also in Facebook. And I would like to thank Glenn and Jennifer for today. And my wish for everybody is that all your dreams of happiness and success come true.
Thank you so much. That's great.
Aw, squishy.
And we'll be here on Monday morning with the recorded episode and then back live on Tuesday. Have a terrific 4th of July, everybody. Have a wonderful Canada Day up there in Canada. And I am so excited. I have goosebumps because tomorrow we get our new Greyhound. Yay!
Woohoo! Congratulations.
We pick her up tomorrow, so we'll have reports for you on that on Tuesday as well. Say goodbye, Randy.
Goodbye, Randy.
Perfect.